For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, this is Kevin Kelly, and you are listening to the Stardom Cast.
This is Jesse from Club Venus from Stardom, and you're watching Stardom Cast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Stardom Cast, a podcast where we talk all things about the fantastic, amazing, and spectacular professional wrestling company that we love so, so much that is called Stardom. I am your host. My name is Matt Turner. And, folks, we have a special guest for this episode, the one and only, the very talented and amazing, the one, Alyssa Marino. Alyssa, welcome to the Stardom Cast.
Thank you so much for having me on. This is a blast. I'm very excited.
Yeah, we appreciate you taking time out of your day to come on the podcast. I'm really, really looking forward to this interview. This should be a really, really fun time. I know there might be some members of the Stardom Cast, the Army, the friends and family of the Stardom Cast might be saying, Matt, where is the Batman to your Robin? Where is one Rob Goodwin? Unfortunately, Rob is moving this weekend, and he is without internet for 2 weeks. So how do we live? So how do we live in a world without internet?
I am chronically online, so my heart goes out to Rob and the fam, because that cannot be easy. So,
not only that, but as we record this, it is May 4th. So for all you Star Wars fans, May the 4th be with you. Are you a Star Wars fan, Alyssa?
Admittedly, I have not seen every Star Wars movie.
Okay. No, that's, hey, I just figured, hey, you know, I'm a giant Star Wars nerd. So I just realized it was May the 4th. So I just want to wish to everybody out there, happy Star Wars Day. With being May the 4th, as if it's not going to be busy enough with Stardom doing two live streams back to back. We have a Stardom pay-per-view tomorrow. We have the All Together show on Monday from Budokan Hall that has Starlight Kid and Natsupoi versus O2 Lion of Izumi Miyu Amasaki. And then this morning on the Pro Wrestling Noah show was the first Marigold match. So, yeah, so poor Rob was like, I have no way of really watching any of these. So I was like, don't worry, partner. I got you. So this will kind of be a nice little fun conversation that we're going to have. It's going to be nice to get to know you and just chat with you. The first question is actually for me right off the bat. And it's going to be a weird question, but I'll explain why in a minute. Is your middle initial begin with an L? Before you answer that, I have to tell you the reason why I asked that. Now, for any of us that have listened to the Stardom Cast before, they know my wife's first name is Amber. What they don't know is her maiden name is Marino. So there is one A Marino and another A Marino that I'm talking to. So I just need to know, is your middle initial L?
It is not L.
Okay.
I've found as I've gotten older that Marino is actually a quite common last name that I didn't know how prevalent it was, but that's so cool. What a small world. No, my middle initial is M.
Ah, there we go. Because as we were kind of just going back and forth about, you know, us helping you out with the notes for Spark Joshi, yeah, which we'll get into, and just going back and forth about setting this interview up, every time it came up, you know, Alyssa Marino, A Marino, I'm like, I just have to ask her, like, what are the chances? What are the chances? And I know we talked about a minute or two ago off air about how sometimes people would get your name wrong in school, especially the last name Marino. Considering the fact there is a very famous football player that played for the Miami Dolphins in the 80s and 90s by the name Dan Marino.
So my story about that is that growing up at the height of his popularity, I think it was like he had been in Ace Ventura: Pet Detective. And that was where I was like, I wasn't really like, I didn't follow sports when I was a kid. So I was like, ah, yeah, I know he's, you know, from the Miami Dolphins because he's, you know, with the Dolphin Snowflake, you know, whatever. So I had written his name on a piece of paper and tried to sell it to one of my classmates and said he was my uncle. He was Uncle Dan. So I was always an enterprising youth.
Hey, always on that hustle. You were born for the pro wrestling business and you didn't even know it. You didn't even know it. So let me tell you my Dan Marino story, which really isn't a Dan Marino story. So I'm dating my wife about 4 or 5 months, and she texts me and she says, hey, this weekend we're having a cookout at my house with all the family. My Uncle Dan wants to meet you. Now I'm thinking, again, her maiden name, Marino. I'm like, and I'm 99% sure it's not the Dan Marino, right? So sure enough, I go in there. And his last name wasn't even Marino, was on the other side of the family. So it was, and to this day, and I've been with my wife, we've been married 12 years, we've been together about 15. To this day, whenever I see him, I'm always like, oh, there he is, Dan Marino. Like, it's always still like a 15-year running joke that only a few of us get. But kind of funny. It's kind of funny.
That's hilarious. Because, hey, there's that 1% that he wasn't sure. What if you had shown up and it had somehow, better that you were prepared.
Yeah, and it's so funny because whenever I bring it up to his wife, my wife's aunt, she's like, man, I would have really cashed in on those Isotoner gloves. And she mentioned the Ace Ventura, considering they're all on like live streams. I would have cashed in on that if I married the Dan Marino. And then Uncle Dan, it's so funny that I'm talking about my wife's Uncle Dan on a Stardom Cast podcast. Uncle Dan's like, you wouldn't have enough fun. You wouldn't have fun because my wife's Uncle Dan is an absolute hoot. So it's kind of funny. It really is how small the world can be when it comes to professional wrestling.
Very true. Yeah. Just get smaller.
And speaking of the world being small, I did not realize this until last week that we have a mutual friend in the pro wrestling business.
Yes, we do.
And we may as well talk about it now because we might be able to go an hour just on talking about the one and only, the lovely Miss Allison Danger. And I'll tell you how she brought your name up because she had no idea I was interviewing this week. So once a month, she's on the podcast once every 2 or 3 months. I mean, she's fantastic. Me and her go way back to our days in Ring of Honor and, you know, 18, 19 years ago. She's just the best. Okay. So once a month, we do a segment on our Patreon called What If, where we do like fantasy booking. For example, the one What If we did was, what if for Forbidden Door, it wasn't AEW versus New Japan, but AEW versus Stardom. And I think it was me and Rob fantasy booked where the whole card was AEW women's roster versus Stardom's roster, which I think I even booked Shibata versus Suzuki because who doesn't want to see that match?
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. So me and Allison were going to book Miami Toyota it's supposed to be in Stardom. 2 days before and you're going to kick out this because you know Allison, 2 days before we were supposed to record, she messaged me and says, hey, you can book Toyota in Stardom, but can I book Toyota, and it's prime Toyota, Miami Toyota, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. Can I book her in America? I'm like, Allison, you can do whatever you want. You know, I don't care, whatever you want to do. So what Allison did is, because Miami Toyota is such a big figure in pro wrestling, that she's like, well, not only am I going to book her in all these promotions in the US, but I'm going to book her with her own production team. I'm going to book her with her own cameraman. I'm going to book her with her own ring announcer. And she was saying all the names, and she goes, for commentary would be Alyssa Marino. I go, oh my God, I am interviewing her next week. And she's just like, Matt, have you ever talked? I said, here, just through messages on social media, because not only is she a fantastic commentator, but she's a fantastic person. I think she called you a good dude. So
that means the most, to be called a good dude from Professor Danger. That warms my heart. And I smile as you're telling me this because that's so Danger. I guarantee you that she would have these like brilliant ideas at like 3 a.m. and just like write them all down. Like, cause I feel like that's just, her brain is always working, and it's absolutely incredible. She's so imaginative, and I just love how her mind works. So it does not surprise me that it was like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and go above and beyond and just book Manami Toyota everywhere, in every company, and all the fine details. That does not surprise me.
It was entertaining. To the shock of nobody, it was entertaining. When she sent me that message, I'm like, that's not the assignment. but I know whatever it is she does, it's going to make it entertaining. I'm like, this actually turned out to be better. You know, it's like sometimes you come into something with your head, like, you know, it could go here, it could go here. And sometimes it falls short of the mark. Sometimes it hits, and sometimes it goes above and beyond. Like in my head, I was like, it's the Stardom cast. This whole thing is about Stardom. But I'm like, okay, she can do that. So I did my thing. And then she just booked Toyota in like TNA in our Impact, whatever it's called, in AEW and NXT and WWE. And I was just like, wow, it turned out to be really great. But she did want to make mention, and I wrote it down on my notes. And if I don't say it now, I'm going to forget. She wants to know, what is your beef with putting raisins in cereal?
So we had this ongoing feud regarding Raisin Bran, because I say texturally, keep those old ass grapes out of my cereal. I want my cereal crunchy. I don't want to be like, oh, ew, what the hell? I got like a nugget of chewiness. Eventually, we were working a show together and we did share bowls of Raisin Bran crunch. I think the extra bit of crunch helped to even it out for me, texturally speaking. And I'll give it to her. It's not that bad. But that was my beef. Was it was a texture thing. I want the crunch. I don't want the old ass grapes.
So now that we got all the fun stuff, well, the whole thing's going to be fun. Now we got that out of the way. Let's kind of just start like from your roots, like your origin. Like, when did you first watch wrestling? Like, were you a fan growing up? And like, who were some of the wrestlers you enjoyed watching and that kind of inspired you to get into the business?
So it's funny. I did not have wrestling on my bingo card, like at all, as something I would ever do. I watched when I was a very, very little kid, maybe like 4 or 5 years old. And it was my great-grandfather had these VHS tapes of like greatest matches of The Undertaker and highlights of Ric Flair. And they were like the two that I grew up kind of watching. But what was funny was that it wasn't so much about The Undertaker as it was Paul Bearer. That was who I was just so enamored at, the way that he did things and how freaked out he made me feel, even though he wasn't an in-ring competitor. And I always like found that something to be very interesting. And then I went a very different path, and I took voice lessons growing up, and I was going to actually pursue opera. I studied opera in college, and that was kind of like the path I was going toward. I didn't have wrestling on my radar at all. And then I had moved to LA when I think it was like 2016. And my roommate had been watching, I think it was Monday Night Raw. And I remember sitting down, and what brought me there is my college roommate got me really into ska. And I heard this song, and I'm like, wait, I know this song. And it was Sami Zayn's theme. And I sat down and I watched the match because I'm like trying to figure out what this song was. Like, is this like Streetlight Manifesto? Like, what is, like, I know this song. And that I sat down and I watched the match, and it must have been a lead up to something. I think it was something with him and KO, because I remember them going over in like the video packages. I'm always a sucker for a good video package now, because that was what got me. I was hooked from there. And then I, you know, delved into like Lucha Underground. So I kind of was like a late bloomer when it came to wrestling, but I was very fortunate that I had a lot of really cool resources, and that I had a whole back catalog that I can then go exploring to kind of keep whetting my appetite for it.
That's really well. Now I have to ask you, who give me some of your favorite ska bands? You see, we're gonna. That's why we don't schedule anything in these interviews. We'll have a couple bullet points, and then who knows what avenue we're gonna go down.
Oh, okay. So this is a tough one, because one of the ones that I loved a lot was actually just a local band in my area called the Argyles that I like listened to in high school, and I don't think they're around anymore. It's like Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. I just think they're like really fun. I'm probably missing something, because of course, it's like when you're on the spot and you're not thinking of it. Oh, we did Never Slept So Soundly. Like, oh, I can't remember the band. Hold on. I'm going to look it up because it's going to bother me. Never Slept So Soundly.
My buddy Paul. Hi, Paul. I know that you're listening. He's a huge, huge ska fan. And it's so funny, when Rob came over from England from WrestleMania, I never met him before. And I was like, I just want to let you know, you're going to be hanging out with some of my crazy, crazy friends. Him and Paul, within like 2 hours, became like best friends. And then him and Sean, who edits our podcast, the two of them are like, you want to start a band online? The guy said, oh my goodness, like, this is so cool. So they were talking about ska bands. again, my buddy Paul, Sky was really big in our area in the 90s. There was this bar that closed down, burned down, we were in high school, called CeCe's in Moosic, Pennsylvania, right outside Scranton. And that's where one of the bands by the name of Real Big Fish kind of got one of their starts. And that's kind of one of the bigger Sky. So I know a little bit just talking to my buddy Paul. I'm more of a heavy metal guy, you know, more of like the Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, Slayer, Metallica. That's kind of more my jam. But when you mentioned Sky, I was like, I know a little bit about that. But did we find out what band that was? That who do you got?
RX Bandits.
Okay, I've heard of them. Yeah,
it's been so long since I've listened, so I'm like, oh, okay, I'll probably listen to this song today.
So you've obviously, doing very well with the commentary. Have you ever decided to do anything like in ring wise, either as a manager, as a pro wrestler?
When I actually first started at Santino Brothers Wrestling Academy, it was I did a 1-day tryout there, and I tried the rolls and the bumps, and the rolls were great. The bumps were not so great. And they had said, they're like, we think we want to do a training session that's just for non-wrestlers, something that's for managers, commentators, announcers, referees. And I was like, oh my gosh, yeah. Like if that's something you guys are going to do, because I didn't see myself being an in-ring performer. I've fantasized and daydreamed about it and how cool it would be. And I practiced cutting promos for it. I was like, I have so much respect and that's not for me, but I still wanted to be involved. So when I realized that that was an option, I dove in headfirst, and I actually started as a manager, and it was Kathy from Human Resources who had a delightfully kind of annoying Midwestern accent. She was the death of fun. She was the a GM at a couple different places to make sure everything was nice and orderly and following the proper rules and regulations. It was right around the time of, I think I was channeling a lot of different kind of vibrations of just like fun killer, like no jumping off the top rope or your t-shirt's offensive and just all that kind of fun, silly stuff. And then eventually refereeing was what I was most afraid of. But commentary was a close second, and I never thought I would ever do commentary. I just, wanted to have fun and do this character. Because in the 1-day tryout, when we got to practice cutting promos, was where I found like I was having the most fun. I was like, this part clicks. This makes sense. I have a theater background. I feel comfortable doing this. So it kind of evolved over time to now. I think I did the Kathy from HR character twice last year, just kind of in these little like pop-up shows. But for the most part now, what I do is more so commentary, sometimes ring announcing.
Yeah. And what are some of the independent wrestling companies that you consistently work for nowadays?
So consistently work for,
Give us everything. Whatever you want to say.
For sure. I had actually taken a little bit of a hiatus last year. But I had been working for a lot of stuff in New England. So Blitzkrieg Pro, Pro Wrestling Grind, Beyond Wrestling Open, now kind of trying to do more stuff around my area too. So like I got to do a show with BCW. When it was in its heyday, I was working a lot for Women's Wrestling Army, Maria Kanellis and Bobby Cruz's company. That was a lot of fun. So I've done a lot of like stuff over the years. And now I'm just trying to kind of find a balance and find the places that want to have me and that I, can add to.
So. Place that you can add value where everybody would work together. Cause really that's what wrestling, a lot of us, I spent so many years in the ring. Sometimes you realize that, and obviously the wrestlers are the ones that are doing the most. So they're taking the most risk, doing the most damage. You have to get mentally prepared to literally put your body through whatever you're going to put your body through, make your opponent look good, but yet safe, and make sure the crowd's entertained, make sure somebody paid $20, $30, $40 to see you, make sure they got their money's worth, make sure the promoter's happy. But then as you kind of take a step back, and as I'm, I'm in my 40s, take a step back and realize what the announce team does, what the referees do. And I've been lucky to, be in the ring with some of the really, really good referees. And I've been in the ring with some of the really bad referees that for some reason they just keep getting in your way, like, and constantly messing things up, and that happens. But like the what the commentary team does, they're really adding the lyrics to the music. And you know, when I first broke into the indies about 20 years ago, there wasn't many commentary teams because there was no streaming, there was no YouTube, there was no, it was like literally you would have to, if you wanted to watch your match, you would have to bring your own camera, film it, and then dub everything over. It's just because you're watching what I do right, what I do wrong, what can I do better, if you're sending things out to promoters. Now it's just a smaller world where it's just like you can literally put it on your phone, you can put it on your Facebook or your YouTube, whatever. You could do commentary to your own match, you know, the match that you're watching if you want. So it's literally a completely different world, but everybody's so much more important to everybody that's in the ring taking bumps, to the people that are pulling cable. So I think that's really, really cool that you're at being able to add lyrics to the music to a lot of these wrestling companies. You mentioned you worked for Beyond. So have you met my good buddy Jerry, who owns Beyond?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Me and Jerry broke into the Northeast Indies right around the same time. And I don't think I've really seen him or talked to him for a handful of years. And it's just like, there's no beef. It's just, you know, sometimes you kind of go your separate ways. But when I found out he was, you know, running Beyond, I'm like, that's weird, because you're located, like, he's located in the Scranton, Pennsylvania area, and he's constantly traveling up to the New England area. So, I haven't seen Jerry in a while or talked to him every now and again. Maybe I'll drop him a message. But Jerry, me and Jerry have done a lot of car rides to the middle of nowhere back in the early 2000s. So we actually had a match with the Barbarian. Kind of was like a three-way dance. It was me, him, and this other rookie. I'm like, yeah, halfway through the match, the Barbarian's going to come in. I said, well, what's about halfway? It's like 5 or 6 minutes. So like, all right, let's get our stuff. And we drove 8 hours for a 10-minute match that's going to get cut. We did one spot, and all of a sudden, here comes the Barbarian. So the Barbarian, like, yeah, literally one spot. Yeah, literally we drove to the backwoods of West Virginia. We almost drove over a cliff. And by we, I mean him. And the Barbarian comes in, tosses Jerry out. He kicks me in the stomach, and the Barbarian's a big dude.
Yeah.
So I bent over, and he's going to give me the big clubbering gimmick to the back. And I'm like, this might end my life. Look how big this guy is and how intimidating he is. It was like a feather. I was like, oh my, and I sold that thing like I got shot. I was like, oh my, this is so nice. Because there's this big jacked up dude that I would watch in the 80s and 90s. Because again, I grew up in the Northeast, so WWF, WWE was king. So it's like, that's cool. We get to do a spot with the Barbarian. And when I asked him, I said, Barb, what do you want to do out there? Ah, you know, I'll throw him out, you know, what else? Okay, okay, no problem. So about 5-6 minutes in. I don't think we were more than 30 seconds in.
Oh, game. No.
Yeah. So I got I got to reach out to Jay, just a really, really good dude. That's, again, small world. Again, I guess we have another mutual friend in Jerry. So that's really cool.
And that too, what the story that you shared, I think is just so, there are so many things that if you aren't part of the wrestling world, you don't understand that, like, yeah, that happens, where you'll literally spend more, double or triple the amount of time in a car than you will an actual match that you're doing or a show that you're even participating on. I'm lucky with commentary that I'm, you know, usually the entirety of the show I'm working. So I feel like at least I'm getting like my money's worth out of the trip, but I feel that like that happens.
Yeah. But the commentary, again, I could re-wrestling a 5-minute match, a 10-minute match, a 15-minute match. But you're a commentator. You're out there anywhere from 2 to 3, 3.5 hours. So you're kind of the voice of that show. So obviously, and plus, you know, people are listening to you the most, but also at the same time, it's your job and your responsibility to get wrestlers over, to get matches over, to get angles over. So there's a lot to do on the commentary team. So yeah, it's a job, but it's a fun job, isn't it?
It's a fun job. It's never boring. I will definitely say that. And I'm catching myself too. One of the companies I forgot to mention in where I work, Spark Joshi, hello.
I was eventually going to get there.
It's like the straw band thing. It's like when someone asks you the question, you're like, oh wait, what do I do? So yes, Spark Joshi is another one.
We were going to eventually get there because that's pretty much how this whole thing kind of came about. You know, we'll get there. You spent a little bit of time in NXT, correct?
I did, yes. A very, very little bit of time based on the state of the world. I was hired in January 2020, right before everything shut down. It was a very cool time.
Yeah, tell us about that experience. Like, who did you work with? Did you get to talk to Triple H or Shawn Michaels? Like, yeah, just kind of tell us about that experience, if you don't mind.
Yeah, it was really cool. And I think it was something that I literally never, ever saw happening. And happening so early, especially in my career. I think I got started maybe 2018, so 2 years in, and I was able to do that. I feel so lucky and so grateful. One of I was hired as a live event host, so I would basically ring announce, do little pre-show segments and fan interactions and stuff during the live events around Florida. So it was a lot of the NXT roster that I got to meet and got to work with. One of my biggest mentor there was Alicia Taylor. Absolutely phenomenal, phenomenal person. And it was actually really cool because she had been working doing interviews among the other litany of amazing things and talents that she has in LA. And we were like two ships passing. Like, we would be at the same shows. Like, I would be, you know, working merch because I was still like starting and getting a feel for things. And she would be like at the show doing interviews. So we would just kind of miss each other, but we knew of each other. So it was really, really cool to get to work alongside her. And I learned so much from her and stuff that I still do to this day. Some of the things that I still carry with me as, you know, little nuggets of knowledge. I never got my Triple H picture. I had always wanted that. But I kind of slipped in at an odd time where there were other superstars that started around the same time, but I was kind of I was the only announcer that started at that time. So I was just kind of on my own path and like really like glued to the hip with Alicia, but I wouldn't have had it any other way because I feel like I learned so much. But I did get to have interactions with Triple H and with Shawn Michaels at the Performance Center. It was really, really cool.
So learning experience, you really can't put a price on. And that's what I always say about wrestling. Is, and some people that like just don't understand, it's just like, well, how much money did you spend on wrestling between traveling, you know, the promoters, you know, shortcutting you on money, the training, the gear. It's like, I don't think I've ever broke even, but at the same time, it's like I've learned so much that has prepared me for the quote unquote real world, that any time that I would go for a promotion at the job I had before this one, it was just like, I'm literally just cutting a promo on myself. I don't care the other eight people you're going to interview. You're not going to beat me because who else is throwing themselves at the ground, driving, you know, 6 hours back, 6 hours forward, going to be in the gym the next morning. And it was always very easy for me to get promoted based on it. Like, is this an interview? Yes. Okay. I will get this job because it's literally you're cutting a promo on yourself. So the pro wrestling world, if you stick at it, regardless of, you know, and I always tell people that the only person that's in the way of your dreams is that person that you stare in front of the mirror at every day. The only one that could stop you is you. I mean, if you really put in the forth, the effort and whatnot. And, you know, it really is. It's the best business in the world. It really is because you can go anywhere with it. You really can. And apparently you have. You've been down in Orlando. You've been in New England. You've been over on the West Coast. So yeah. Is there anybody? You live in Texas by chance? Did you run in the Von Erichs? Where else have you been?
Right. No, I worked in Texas, but I swear it's the wildest thing. And I always say it, I joke with it. I'm like, I feel like I've lived seven different lifetimes in the course of my life so far. But yeah, I lived in New England for college. I lived in LA. Born and raised in Philadelphia. So I've been on both coasts. I've been north, but I haven't lived in the Midwest and I haven't lived in like Florida, I guess it's kind of like the South, but like Texas, like middle South. I have not.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that you were from Philly. So, of course, I got to ask you the question. Best cheesesteaks in Philly.
Okay, so my go-to answer for this is and will always be, even though I do not eat meat, I eat fish, but I don't eat, like, cheesesteaks, Jim's on South Street. They just recently opened back up. I forever will be a Jim's fan. That's my go-to.
Yeah, we would always go to after like when Ring of Honor would run Philly, which was quite a bit, especially when they started running the ECW Arena, that we'd always go to Pat's and Geno's were kind of like the two go-to. So, and again, it was nice with having Rob come over. I'm originally from a small, small town outside of Scranton, Pennsylvania. Scranton's very well known for the show The Office, which, by the way, if you're from that area, the research they do for the little things is like spot on. It really, really is. It really, really is. Like, if you look at Dwight's desk and he's got the Froggy 101 sticker, that's a local country station.
Whoa.
The one time in the break room, they had on the corner right hand of the screen, they had the local weatherman there. And they said that it was Newswatch 16. Which a friend of mine, Stacy, she used to work for, they said that they sent them 7 hours of footage just to use for like 20 seconds on the corner of a screen. mind blown. When they talk at the Steamtown Mall, I used to go there all the time as a kid. In the summertime when I was young and didn't have my license, me and my buddy Paul, again, going back to Paul, because he lived right by me, would take the bus to the Steamtown Mall. And my friend who I graduated high school with, her parents own Jitters, which they talk, it's a coffee shop, which they talk about quite a bit. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's like, I wish I could feel the same with It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but like most of their stuff they film in LA. Like there are some like exterior shots from like, you know, certain landmarks. I'm like, oh, okay, I know that one coffee shop, like, but oh man, like I know there are little details, but that is so fascinating. That's cool.
And it's really, well, when Jim would, in the beginning scenes, when they would, it says Scranton welcomes you. Mm-hmm. When the 2 years, because again, the town I grew up in, it's called Old Forge. We're known for a pizza. You literally Google pizza capital of the world, Old Forge comes up. And I'll get to that in a minute, because Rob gained a lot of weight when he was in Philly, because it was cheesesteaks. And then when he came over to my house, I got some Old Forge pizza and froze it. And then when my dad came up for WrestleMania, the final night, he got Old Forge pizza as well. But when that's opening scene, I would drive by that every day to go home the 3 years I did live in actual Scranton. Wow. And what they did is the sign was so old, they wanted to get a new one. They had the money for it, but because of how iconic the office was, they left the sign for years and eventually they took the sign down and they put it in the Steamtown Mall.
Nice.
Which I thought was really cool. And then I actually did a wrestling show 2018 or 2019, it was before the pandemic, in the Steamtown Mall. Now, at that point, I moved out of the area and I haven't been in the Steamtown Mall in years. Right by where the wrestling ring was, they had the Scranton Welcomes You sign. So me and my wife got a picture taken in front of it. It's funny because when me and my wife first started dating, again, she lived an hour away where I live now. So it was a little bit of a commute to see each other. So The Office was on its final two seasons and she didn't care for The Office at all. She's like, it's stupid. And then all of a sudden, The Office finishes. We get married, move right now, and then she absolutely loves The Office. It's constant syndication on FX, and it's like, remember when you didn't like this show? It's like, yeah, because I was visiting you in Scranton why this show was going on. But anywho, as I usually do, and our listeners will tell you, I usually get on one topic and get out completely off to the other. Again, why I didn't write down any notes. So, yeah, we filled Rob up with cheesesteaks and Old Forge pizza. So yeah, he went back to England, you know, maybe about 7 or 8 pounds heavier. So I did try to get him to go to the gym with me every morning, but that just wasn't happening because we had some late nights. Let's just say that. So.
You did. It's vacation too. So it's all good.
Yeah, you're right. So how about any international travel or any international promotions? We're not too far away from Canada. So, anywhere there or down south?
So, you know what? It's actually nothing. Nothing yet, I'm going to say. But it's like I'm right by Canada. When I was in LA, I was right by Mexico, but like nothing yet. But I will have my fingers crossed that maybe something will come up.
Yes, and we'll have our fingers crossed for you as well. And not only that, I mean, Canada, Mexico, you were kind of close, but it's a good possibility that Japan might be your next venture where it sparked. We may as well get into it. We're half an hour into this. Let's get into it. With Spark Joshi, after only doing a handful of shows, they're making their debut in Japan. Yeah, and obviously if this hits well, this is something that can be very profitable for the Spark Joshi company. Obviously, Stardom is huge right now. We got Marigold starting up soon. Tokyo Joshi Pro is doing really well. Ice Ribbon's doing very well. It really seems like there could be a market for the Joshi style of professional wrestling. And it's really cool over the past year or two to see these new Joshi companies starting up here in the States. And, you know, we had Kevin Kelly on the podcast 2 years ago, and he was made mention how that if they run a Joshi style company in America, that there'd be a bigger demand for that on TV than there would be for New Japan. Because forever we've had NWA, WCW, ECW, WWE, WWF. We never had a 100% all-female wrestling company on TV. Obviously, Allison, our friend Allison. Hi, Allison. She's done a great job with that Shimmer promotion. They've had some phenomenal shows, bringing in some phenomenal talent. But we've never seen that. So the fact that we were to get Stardom on a mainstream TV or get a Spark on a mainstream TV, I think that'd be huge. And I was at the Spark show in New Jersey and then this one at the Monster Factory just WrestleMania weekend. And both shows were packed. So what do you think that, you know, the future is going to hold for the Spark Joshi company?
I mean, I think the sky's the limit. I have been so impressed not only with the the legends that they've brought in, but also, you know, the hot talent that's like super, super on fire right now, the up and comers that they're shedding a light on too. I think the fact that they had the tryout participants, round of applause. I think that that was absolutely fantastic, because that the Trailblaze event that happened in Monster Factory over WrestleMania week, I feel like had literally everything. You had, you know, all areas in this entire spectrum of, you know, of the Joshi scene. And I feel like it hit so many cool levels with it. So I truly think that, you know, with things that are, you know, in process, with the show that's going to be happening in Japan, I think that it, anything can happen. And I think that's what's so exciting about it. I love what CB and the team have been doing over there. I love the dedication and the passion that you can feel. You know, it's just so very present how much care goes into it. And I absolutely love it.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
And we kind of need to know, Alyssa, who do we need to get a hold of to get you over there for a Japan show? Is that CB? Is that somebody? Or do I, you know, I have to call her out, because I've had some interactions with her online and through email. She seems absolutely lovely. And obviously, you know her better than I do. She seems so, so nice. And really, you know, kudos to her for getting that company to where it's at that fast. The fact that they're doing a show in Japan, the fact that Starlight Kid is their main champion, and she's bringing that belt to Stardom shows.
Yes.
You know, yeah.
I don't know. The pictures online, and every time I see it, I'm like, like it's still, the novelty is definitely not worn off. And seeing that title over in Japan, like I'm just, it's incredible to see.
Yeah, and I don't know if you if you're up to date on current Stardom things, but Starlight Kid, they Wedo Tai, the big heel group in Stardom, turned on her last week, and me and Rob have been saying for a year, it's just like she's in the big heel group. She cheats a little, but she's so well loved. She always has the coolest mask, and she always has the design on the, like, she must have a zillion masks. But even for the Spark show, she had her own mask. Yeah, you talk about care. There's somebody that's like, if I have 5-6 masks, I'm good to go. I can rotate them out in between shows. But like when there's a big show, like the Cinderella tournament, she was in, I think, 2 matches in the Cinderella tournament. She had an own mask with a Cinderella slipper in the back.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's the proper care that she does. And again, we were at the Spark Joshi show, and Starlight Kid came out, and she got what, you had Aja Kong on that show, legend, Mayu Iwatani. You can make an easy argument that she's the greatest female wrestler of all time in her prime. Tam Nakano, one of the most popular wrestlers in Japan, male or female. And Starlight Kid, in my opinion, was the most over person on that show. And she's supposed to be a heel. Like, she won the belt from Sumi Sakai, in which was a great angle, how Sumi turned heel. And it's like, they had all this heat on her. And then Starlight Kid comes out, challenges her, and beats her. Yeah. And she got the biggest pop. And I looked over at Rob. I said, we kind of had like the same thoughts. Like, she's one angle away of being one of the biggest faces in all Japan, and all of Japan, not all Japan, and all of Japan. And we saw the angle play out last week. And on these shows, because it's Golden Week over in Japan, which means there's like 10 wrestling shows every day. So for us, it's tough to keep up, but we're doing our best on the Stardom cast. But every show, Starlight Kid has come out with the Spark Joshi belt, and she's teaming with Tam Nakano, Natsupoi, Saori Anu, and Mayu Iwatani. So not only is that belt on these sold-out shows that are live streaming on Stardom World, but she's rubbing elbows with the best of the best with that belt around her waist or on her shoulder, which is almost like free advertising for you guys over at Spark Joshi.
It really is. And just it's so special to me that because that was Starlight Kid's first time in the U.S., I believe, because she even had like the mask that commemorated the trip for I think it was all like red, white, and blue for the Stardom show. And I was like, the fact that like that must have, you know, obviously meant so much for her too, to capture this title and wear it with so much pride. It's absolutely like the cohesion and just the absolute joy of seeing companies working together and, you know, being able to show that off and to be able to like be proud of that accolade. And on this, it's just all so, it's all of the parts are kind of feeding each other. So I feel like it's just a win-win-win across the board. And I love to see it.
Yeah, you know, I'm so entrenched in what I grew up in. Like I always, like the values that my parents, my grandparents got me, that's what I, you know, stick to. And when, again, I grew up in the 80s, WWF, if you peel back the curtain, Vince killed the territories, didn't work with anybody. Then in 96, he started working with ECW. So I was, and I was a diehard fan of majority of the companies, but it was always WWE, WWF. So it's like, oh, what's this? And then now all of a sudden we're seeing the doors being opened up like those Forbidden Door pay-per-views. It's like, wow, we get to see this. And Taro Okada, Mr. Okada, was, you know, the new president of Stardom, who, I tell you, big shoes to fill. Rossi Ogawa, one of the greatest bookers of any wrestling company ever, like Joshi booking legend, leaves the company, starting his own thing. Mr. Okada comes in and was like, yeah, there's going to be no barriers. Yeah. I'm going to work with AEW. I'm going to work with Spark. It looks like that they're dealing something with Ice Ribbon. So it's just like, you know, and when the Marigold promotion was first announced, Rob and I got asked, you know, who are you guys going to support? Who are you guys going to cover? And it was a quick conversation with them. Like, we're going to cover pro wrestling. Like, yeah. We don't need to choose sides. And I don't like that. Like, do you like AEW? Do you like WWE? I like both. I watch both. Even in the 90s, the Monday Night Wars were huge. And I was in high school. My buddy Joe, he had this big finished basement and he had a TV in each room. So we bounced back and forth watching WCW and WWE, WWF. So it's like, I cheered for both companies. It's like, it's all pro wrestling. And the more companies that they are that are successful, the more the girls have places to go to work and the guys have places to go to work, the more options they are. And I would say, watch it all. Unfortunately, there's only 24 hours in a day. But sure, considering the fact that, again, back in the 90s, when I got into All Japan, New Japan, FMW, UWFI, you were tape traders. So you would be waiting. You would have to tape trade with somebody that maybe you knew or sending something to Japan or Mexico or Canada. But now it's just like streaming service, YouTube, like everything's right there. So I would say, like, watch it all. And the fact that Stardom, the biggest women's wrestling company in the world, is working with Spark Joshi and vice versa, to me, that's just a win-win. And the fact that you're kind of in the thick of it, because you're going to be, like, we always say there's one thing that a lot of these Japanese wrestling companies are missing. Now, New Japan started this about 5-6 years ago, is the biggest wrestling companies in the world are in America. There's no English commentary. Stardom does a little here and there. You're right there. You're right there. You may, I mean, obviously you do a fantastic job. Allison Danger put you over. So it's got to be true. If Allison says it's got to be true, saying just how good of a person you are and how great you are a commentator, there might be a possibility. Listen, maybe I'm just putting out this in the world because that's who I am. There might be a possibility where you'd be calling a Stardom show in Japan, maybe in the next year or so.
Hey, I'm all about manifesting and the positive energy. I think at the end of the day, what is the phrase? A high tide raises all ships.
Yes.
And I sometimes the tribalism aspect of it, although you can't like one and not like the, like, it's exactly like you said, it's all pro wrestling. I want pro wrestling to win. I want, you know, my friends to have places to keep getting booked. I want all of the most eyes that can be on the talent that is so incredibly deserving of being elevated. So at the end of the day, I would love for my voice to be one of the driving forces that can help to continue to elevate talent and tell their stories. That would be an honor. Thank you for putting that out there. I like your energy.
That's the way that I am. I'm always figured, you know, if you say it enough and you work hard enough and you believe it, it'll happen. By no means am I saying I'm going to turn into Spider-Man. Like, there is certain things that you can't.
Understood.
You have to have, you know, bring you down some. Again, this is a Stardom podcast. Who are some of the Stardom talent that's currently in Stardom that you're a big fan of?
You know what's funny is that it's when I was first starting to kind of dabble and get into Stardom, I was just so taken with Saya Iida. I think just such a powerhouse of force. I feel like there are really cool things in the works for her as well. Who else? Definitely Tam, I just think is absolutely incredible. You can't not mention Mayu Iwatani. I love Mina. I think Mina's doing some incredible things as well, and I think continues to impress. I think every time I watch a Stardom show, I'm just very blown away by everyone's intensity, everyone's commitment to all that they do. And I think that that's just one of the most impressive things about the entire roster. But yeah, those are some of like the standouts that come to mind for me.
Well, our listeners are absolutely going to love you, Alyssa, because they're huge fans of Saida, as myself and Rob. Yeah, we are very big on pushing. Every now and again, we'll tweet out a show and be like, Saida, like, you know, we covered these three shows. Saida was the MVP. And then we'll hashtag push Saida and then tag the people in Stardom. We're huge fans of Saida. I'm a big fan of anybody that's working hard towards a goal. I don't care if you're a pro wrestler. I don't care if you're flipping pancakes. I don't care if you're digging ditches. If you want to be the best at it and you work at it, you have my ultimate respect. And how Saida's been able to improve her game over the last year or two, and especially Mina Shirakawa. Rob started watching Stardom probably about 2 years before I did. And it was like, when Mina first came in, it's like, okay, she's just kind of like the eye candy, kind of like the diva search person. And, you know, and she's okay in the ring. And then I started watching Stardom, and it was like the spring of 2022. It's like, oh, she's getting better. Each show, she's getting better. And she's putting your stuff on social media that's like, I'm in this boxing gym. I'm in this MMA gym, and I'm working hard. I'm working on my strikes. And when the 5-star Grand Prix in 2022 was finished, I said, Rob, I said, she might have, like, she just upped her game so much. And then she had those series of matches with Saya Kamatani. Obviously, there was the one match where she got hurt in, which still is, even though the finish didn't go the way it was planned, it's still a phenomenal match. She comes back, defeats Saya Kamatani for the Wonder of Stardom Championship. Now she's somebody that we see on AEW TV now, somebody that we see in big matches all the time. And it's just like, and I love that, considering the fact that where she was the beginning of 2022 to where she is now, and all she did was bet on herself, work hard, put herself out there, and now she's a main eventer and somebody that we see on AEW TV. And again, now we have that working relationship, AEW and Stardom, and that it's Stardom talent on Forbidden Door. Wouldn't be shocked if we see Mina on that show, considering the fact that Toni Storm did hint at the ECW arena in Philadelphia, putting the belt in front of Mina's face, saying the Forbidden Door is always open. I'm like, they wouldn't have done that if it's not going anywhere. So I got a really good feeling that come the end of June in Long Island, New York, we're going to see Mina versus Toni Storm. And that's just going to be good on Mina. And that's going to give Toni Storm just another phenomenal match to put under her belt, pun intended, I guess.
Exactly. And yeah, oh God, yeah. Everything they're doing with Mariah right now, I think has been so just phenomenal. I absolutely love the little stories that we're telling here on television. And I think, yeah, one of the things I really loved about Mina, reading more about her and about her story, was I feel like she's someone that, instead of letting critiques or people's doubts discourage her, I think she doubled down and was like, no, I'm just going to do what I need to do to prove people wrong. And anyone that says that they think I couldn't make it. So I always just found that very admirable. And another talent that I didn't mention that I'm also very impressed by, and obviously huge, exciting return, was Tekla, the Idol Killer. Like, so fantastic and so multi-talented as well. I think that is just a very unique competitor, but also just a unique human being on a lot of levels. So I'm very, very fascinated to see what's coming next for Tekla.
Yes, I mean, not only is she a fantastic wrestler, but she's multilingual. She speaks multiple languages, which is good for Stardom, opening up all these doors to try to go into different countries. So she could be the flag bearer for interviews, for promo. So that's good on her. The heel turn, I thought, was something that she absolutely needed. Something that Aweto Tai, they kind of needed to shake up the group with somebody with her. She's going to be cutting the best promos because she speaks the best English. Starlight Kid's English, though, is very good. Well, obviously, she's not in the group anymore. But when we met her at WrestleMania weekend, her English was surprisingly really good. From what I understand, Tekla's an artist and I believe in a band. So it's just like, wow, she crosses all sorts of genres, which again is just good for the Tekla brand. And it's funny that she is known now as the Idol Killer, because we said it on the show, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, one of the main events on one of these what we call Stardom World shows that aren't live pay-per-views. And by the way, you mentioned how much heart and intensity Stardom has. on these non-pay-per-view shows in front of a couple hundred people, they still bring it. Oh, yeah. It's amazing. It's just like you're definitely getting your money's worth. That's why I tell a lot of my friends and fans that, like, you guys need to subscribe to Stardom World. It's less than $7, less than $2 a week, because not only getting the back catalog, you'll get the pay-per-views when they eventually come out if you don't want to pay the full price, and you're getting these Stardom World shows that are well worth your $7. But there was a main event match with Saeed and Hanan versus Tam Nakano and Natsupoi, who are obviously known as Meltzer and the Idols. And again, it was a week before Tekla started to call herself the Idol Killer, where Saeed is just dropping bombs on Tam and Natsupoi, where I mentioned, I said, Rob, we might need to call Saeed the Idol Killer. And then a week later, Tekla comes up to say, I'm the Idol Killer. And I was like, I don't know if she directly took that from us. But here it goes. We're trying to get Saeed over. Saeed and Mizuki, two talents. I'm like, why aren't we pushing these two to the main event? They're so good. But I just thought that was really, really funny. But yeah, Tekla's somebody that's great. And two people on that show that really impressed me that I'd never seen before were Maya World and Jada Stone. You mentioned the tryout, and it's just like, boy, you're putting a big scenario. You're at a sold-out Monster Factory, literally the day of WrestleMania, WrestleMania Sunday, yeah. And you're in the ring with Konami and Mayu. It's just like, I was like, what's this going to be like? And I'm like, oh my God, this is one of the best matches I've seen all week, and I've never seen them before. I was completely blown away, and you probably have to agree with me, Melissa, that their stock has completely rose after that weekend.
100%. I think Maya World just had a match with Mio Yamashita, I believe, out in the Midwest as well. So, like, things are happening. I would not be, you know, surprised if their journeys take them, you know, overseas, over to Japan. But, and Jada Stone has been doing training at the LA Dojo in LA as part of the New Japan LA Dojo. And I was blown away. I think, wasn't like Bayley wearing a Jada Stone t-shirt? I was like,
WrestleMania press conference after she won at WrestleMania.
And like, more and more, I'm seeing their names more places. I mean, they have the talent that I feel like it would have happened regardless. They're both incredibly talented, as were the other participants. I think it was Jocelyn Navarro, Ava Everett, and Alejandra, the Lion. And they're all so impressive, but I love the fact that they were given a new platform with fans who maybe that was their first time having eyes on these competitors. I really love the fact that that happened, because it raised everyone's stock. But again, it gave them really cool opportunities to show what they can do. And it's blow people away is what they can do. And I thought Maya and Jada, I felt like, really held their own in the match with Konami and with Mayu. It was incredible.
Yeah, the one thing is, and I was telling Rob when we went to that Spark show, I said, you know, it's going to be a good show, but I wouldn't be shocked to see kind of the Stardom wrestlers maybe dial it back just a little bit. Which even 75% Mayu is better than 99% of the wrestlers out there. Nobody dialed it back.
Nope.
Nobody dialed. I was like, oh my God. And again, and I bring this up quite a bit because this is what I was entrenched in. So I would always watch WWF. They would do house shows at the CYC in Scranton, Pennsylvania, which was Gorilla Monsoon's favorite arena, by the way. And everybody would always dog it on those shows because they were house shows, except for Bret Hart. And it really made me appreciate Bret Hart, because I remember a match with Lex Luger and Tatanka, and God bless both of them, where they went like 15 minutes and nobody bumped. Like, nobody bumped. And it was like, oh, I guess this is what happens on the house shows. And then, like, Bret Hart's doing dives and superplexes. And I was like, oh, all right. And then what really pushed them is then ECW started running that venue. So you'd have WWF doing these house shows in 96, 97, which really Bret and Shawn were one of, like, their huge, huge talents there. And then ECW would come in and actually have a huge show where they're doing the Singapore Canes and they're breaking tables. And it was just like, man, I was in the WWE here, WWF 2 weeks ago, and it was nowhere near as good as this show. So I think that kind of weaned everything out. But the point I was trying to get to is I kind of thought maybe the Stardom wrestlers and Aja Kong and Kyoko Inoue would maybe dial down a bit. Not at all. They were on their stuff, which again just makes you go to appreciate the effort that somebody puts into their craft. It really just goes to show you how much they love professional wrestling. It's one of the reasons why so many people absolutely love the Joshi style of professional wrestling, especially in Stardom.
It's all heart all the time. There's no denying that. You can't, you know, watch a Stardom show or even just watch a Stardom match and say that, like, oh, they dialed it in. Never. Like, it's always on 100%. And I think that, I think wrestling at its core is an escape for a lot of people. So the idea that, you know, we tune in and, or you, you know, you pay the money that you worked so hard to earn to go to a show and you're getting every cent in that experience. That to me is a show that's well done. And I really appreciated how much everybody gave of themselves for that event. And throughout that whole weekend, honestly, really impressive.
Yeah, there was. Did you by chance go into any of the other shows in Philadelphia?
So all of my shows were in Jersey. So I was at a Combat Fights Unlimited show, and then I did a really awesome. It actually one of the show that helped to set up Viva Van and Ram Kaicho at Thrashylvania the day before. That was in New Jersey, and then Spark.
You were busy. Yeah. As were myself and Rob, we mentioned on the, we literally did like a 3.5 hour show of just our recap for WrestleMania. Cause when I told, you probably listened to it, but I mean, when I told Rob, I said, I'm going to WrestleMania, it's in Philly. I'm going with my buddies that I grew up with that we always get together for WrestleMania, even if we only see each other once a year. Cause you know, as you're getting older, married kids, the whole nine, I get it. Life happens. But like when WrestleMania happens, like the wives and the kids know, like that's our time to transfer back into our teenage years. So I said, come on over, dude. I said, come on, we'll get a hotel the first night you come in. I'm only an hour and change away from Philadelphia. Stay at my house. I'll drive you into Philly. I'll take care of, you know, don't worry about anything. And he's like, I'm coming over. We're doing so much. And then it was like, okay, great. He booked his flight. We got the hotel. And all of a sudden Stardom announced there was a show. Stardom participation on certain shows. So yeah, we were, you know, we did the ECW Arena. Then we had our live Stardom Cast podcast, which is awesome. And then we, because we're insane, we weren't busy enough, we decided to go to GCW versus the World that started at 11:59.
Excellent.
And just because we wanted to see one match, and that match was Shuri, because Shuri's wrestling, and Masa Slamovich. I'm like, when are we ever going to be? We'll figure out sleep next week.
Yes.
And I remember we were just so exhausted because we got up early, drove to Philadelphia, started to show at the ECW Arena. We had our live podcast. I remember we walked into that venue, and the way it was built that this was going to be the main event of the show, we're not going to get out of here till like 3 or 4 o'clock. And it was match number 3. And I did notice, and there's all these little things I've noticed because I've been lucky enough to be blessed in this business for more than half my life, is when the ring announcer said, this match will be a 30-minute time limit. So I was like, buddy, this one's going 30 minutes. It went 30 minutes. The match got over at about 10 after 1, standing ovation.
Beautiful.
Everybody at the collective. I mean, how much more can you, you know, appreciate that? So I just realized we were getting close to that hour. So we have time for one question and then I'll throw a couple of questions at you.
Cool.
This question comes from our super friend and super fan of the show, Steve Kakamakos. Hey, Alyssa, aside from being a commentator, I seen you are listed as a professional cereal eater.
Yes.
And I know you have a channel where you interview wrestlers about cereal and other snacks. If you were to develop one of those fun cereals and fun flavored and fun shaped grains and fun shaped marshmallows, which Spark Joshi talent would you look to try to make into shapes? Or I guess Stardom talent?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know. I feel like now I would want to do Starlight Kid because I feel like you could have little masks. You could have the little Spark title. The title plate, like you could have, oh my God, you could have so much fun with little marshmallow shapes. I would start like kid, easy. You could even have like, it could be like alphabets, but could only be SLK. And you could just like spell out. Yeah. Okay. Yep. That's my answer.
See that we put you on the spot and you hit a home run. You know, my go-to would always be either Tam or like Taika Matani, but that was I guess there's no wrong answer, but yours might've been the best. That was a really good one.
That's a great question.
Yeah, that was good. Steve always throws me really great questions. He always, like, I'll get an email from him and it'll be like really long. I'm like, I can't wait to dig into this because it'll be like really thought out questions. Steve actually wrote a Christmas song based on me and Rob on the podcast last year. Yeah, he's really thoughtful. Steve, you know, we absolutely love you, my man. You're the best. And thanks for the support. we greatly appreciate. And thanks for the great question. So again, as we continue to wind down here, because I don't want to take up too much of your time, I just have a couple last questions. Is there any wrestler that you've seen on the independents that needs more love that you can kind of give them a quick and easy cheap plug here and free cheap plug?
Okay. So I'm going to say my top, I'm going to give three, and I hope that sure. None of my friends get mad at me. Delmi Exo, who has, you know, competed in Japan, Canada, has done a lot, but I definitely think more I should be on her. Does stuff with MLW, but can't say enough good things about Delmi. Heather Monroe, who I got to know very well in LA, so incredibly talented, my fellow Santino alumni. I would love to see her everywhere. Oh, balloon. I would
Is
love
your
to
birthday?
See her. No, I don't know why balloons happened. Did I do something?
I saw that.
But okay, balloons for Heather Monroe. It was her birthday. Jordan Blade, I think, is a really unique talent, and I would love to see her be featured more places because I think what she brings is very different, and I absolutely love her style. Yeah, definitely. I think that would be number three. And number four, just because she's been on my mind, because even though right now she's not able to compete because she has been under house arrest with her label, is Becca. Becca, I think, has been such a creative mastermind that I'm always really, really impressed by what she can bring to the table. And I know I'm probably forgetting someone. If you're my friend, I love you so, so much. And I'm sorry if I forgot to call
we'll
you.
We'll bring you back on. We'll bring you back on.
I will come back on and I will talk about all of my friends. But yes, they're all my friends, but they're all also really, really talented. So I think that, you know, goes hand in hand.
Okay. Four more quick questions and then we'll wrap this baby up. So this will be a two-parter. What was your favorite match that you ever saw as a fan? And what was your favorite match that you've ever called, if you can pick one or two as a commentator?
Oh my gosh. Favorite match I ever saw.
Either like on TV or in person.
Oh, okay. I'm like, wait, I can't think of any live events that I've been to. Okay. Favorite match I ever saw on TV. I'm really bad at like remembering matches after they happen, but I feel like there was like a Johnny Gargano and Malachi Black, or at the time, Aleister Black match that I remember being really, really impressed by at NXT. I think it was at one of the takeovers. I loved everything with like the Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens feud in the NXT days that I found really, really enjoyable. And I think it always held a special place because that's like where I first got like ingrained in it. And there was definitely at least one or two on like Lucha Underground that I'm just not remembering, but I just always will hold them special because I feel like they're one of the ones that like hooked my interest when I was first like discovering the world. God, as far as matches that I've called, I could never pick a favorite.
Okay. Okay. There you go. There you go. All right. Again, we manifest it. We're trying to get you over to Japan to call some stuff for Stardom and Spark. Say you're over in Japan and CB and Mr. Okada come over to you and they say, listen, you can commentate any match, a one-on-one match. You have the entire, or tag team, you have the entire Stardom roster to pick. What match would that be?
Oh, wow. Just because it's present on my mind right now, give me Tekla and Nina. I think that would be a delight. There's so many interesting motivations between both of them and that story to tell that, yeah, that's the first one that comes off the top of my head. I love that idea.
And the fact they both speak really good English and you'd be the English commentator. There's the triangle right there. Triangle right there.
I'd be able to get such great notes.
There you go. Last question. It's an easy one. Did you have fun on this interview?
I had so much fun. Thank you for this. This is a blast.
This was an absolute blast. Yes, we'll definitely, you know, as long as our schedules work together and you'd like to, we'd definitely like to have you back on. Hopefully Rob will not be moving and he will be able to attend. That's just life. Listen, before we get out here, is there anything you want to plug? Social medias, any shows, anything like that? This is your opportunity to plug away.
Definitely. Just at @AYY_Marino on all the socials. I'm dipping my toes back in. So keep your eyes peeled for what I'm doing next, because I'm trying to kind of rebuild. Like I said, I was on a little hiatus. I'm coming back in and I'm figuring things out as I go. So follow me along, and I do fun snack reviews. I'm also a part-time snacker. So
look at that. You know, a lady very much like Tekla, a lady of many talents. Again, listen, thank you so much for taking the time on this Saturday on the Star Wars Day to chat with us all things wrestling. This was an absolute blast. Yes, we will definitely have to have you back sometime soon. And maybe we'll have Allison on with you as well. Maybe it'll be me, you, Matt, me, Rob, you, and Allison. What a cluster that would be in the best way possible.
Block off half of your day because none of us will shut up. Yeah, it's just happening. So
it would be entertaining. Folks, that's going to wrap it up for another fun interview. We hope you enjoyed it. Questions, comments, suggestions, anything you need from me, Matt Turner OF on the Instagram and or the Twitter is the best way to get a hold of me. If you're not on social media and you want to shoot me an email, perfectly fine as well. TheStardomCast22@gmail.com is the best way to get a hold of me via email. Folks, we greatly appreciate your support. Can't do it without you, because like I always say, it's just not my podcast. It's our podcast, because we're all together and everybody's different. Everybody's special.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.